Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He is the president and CEO of Novo Resources. It is my top pick. It's the company that I own more shares of than any other in my own personal portfolio. So obviously I'm biased and I want to hear good things only from Dr. Henning. For those of you who may not be familiar with him, he is has an extensive experience as an exploration geologist, having worked for companies like Homestake Mining, Newcrest Mining, Newmont Mining, and then more recently, more junior mining companies as well. But he's employing the skills that he's developed over many years and the ideas that he has developed, his independent ideas to take him on paths that few other geologists have dared to tread, and some that I find extremely interesting, and that's what we want to talk to him about today. Novo trades in Toronto under the symbol NVO. You can buy it in the States, as I have, under the symbol NSRPF. 104.7 million shares outstanding, trading the last time I looked here yesterday or today around 58 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap around 61 million U.S. dollars. Thanks for joining me again, Dr. Henning. I mentioned the Witwaters Rand, the greatest discovery ever on Earth. Talk to our listeners who may not be familiar with the Witwaters Rand. What is the magnitude of that discovery, and what gives you the nerve to think that you might be able to, at least that you're hunting for one?
Sure, not a problem. Look, the Witwaters Rand Basin is a sedimentary basin located in South Africa. And to put it in perspective, it's produced roughly a third of all the gold ever produced on Earth. Wow. It is a very, very large basin depository of gold, we'll call it. It's produced on the order of 1.6 billion ounces. It has resources and reserves on the order of another billion ounces remaining. And quite frankly, there's probably a lot more than that. These mines get deep, you know, they have certain limits they can mine to, but the deposits extend well beyond some of those existing mines. Now, you know, it's easy to talk about the size of it, but to put it in bigger context, a more complete context, you also have to understand that the Witz Basin is really one of the oldest gold deposits on Earth. It formed at a time way back in what's called the Archean period. It's very, very early stage in Earth's history, about 2.9 billion years ago. And these sedimentary rocks were laid down at a time when the chemistry of Earth's atmosphere was changing. It was changing from largely oxygen deficient to oxygen bearing. That was a product of the evolution of photosynthesis. And as photosynthesis came about, my view is that the gold that was in seawater, this is soluble gold in seawater, was basically precipitated or fixed during that period of time, and it was captured by those sediments. So it's a very unique environment, very, very unique period on Earth. It really is the start, basically, of the world's gold cycle, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, what's important about the Witz is that it sits on a little craton. This is a piece of crust. Think of it mm-hmm. like an early small continent called the Capval Craton. And a lot of research has been done to show that the Capval Craton was once connected to what's called the Pilbara Craton. Again, another mm-hmm. small piece of crust located in northwest Australia. If you stitch those two cratons back together, you would have what would have been the first continent on Earth. It mm-hmm. was a very, very early rendition. It was a small continent, probably no bigger than the size of New Zealand, say. But mm-hmm. it was a very important setting for the deposition of these sediments. So my hypothesis, working theory for the Pilbara, for exploring there, is that if this process was alive and well in South Africa, in the Witwaters Rand and the Capval Craton, that there's a likelihood that sedimentary sequences in the Pilbara might host the same types of gold mineralization.
Yeah.
hopefully that gives people a view of why we're chasing these deposits here.
All right, that was the hypothesis that took you to what is now known as the Beatons Creek Project, which you're working on. You're really working on it and working quite rapidly towards at least the goal of producing very soon. Talk to us about your plans for Beatons Creek, and have it changed a little bit now with an improved equity market for gold shares, also with some work that you've done some metallurgical work that's suggesting that by spending a little bit more to get started, you can probably provide even more robust economics than the economics that you were looking at earlier. Talk to us a little bit about your plans going forward at Beaton's Creek, if you would, Quentin.
Sure thing. Look, the gold sector is improving. That's part of the reason for the shift that we've experienced. But there's also some more data that we've gathered here recently that tells us that the gravity-only scenario we're looking at could be enhanced greatly by looking at the addition of carbon and leach circuit onto a gravity processing scenario. So basically what we're looking at now is shifting from gravity-only to a gravity plus CIL, carbon and leach technology, which is basically state-of-the-art for Australia. This is the way most gold ores are processed in Australia. What that means is that the recovery is enhanced greatly. We go from maybe 80 to 85% recoveries up to basically to 98 or better. So it improves the overall economics of the project dramatically, I would say. We have studied this thing enough to know that, you know, the return, we'll call it, the margins and overall return for the project are improved greatly using CIL. So that shift has taken place in the last 3 months. About a week ago, we put out a news release here at Novo talking about our path forward. We, because we're looking at shifting to gravity CIL, we are going to expand our current resource base. We're looking to do that through drilling and additional trench sampling over the next couple of months. We expect to be able to talk about resource expansion sometime maybe in July or August of this year. And then upon that, we will go ahead and complete our PFS. This would be a pre-feasibility study on a gravity CIL scenario with an expanded resource base that should give us, a lot to, we'll call it a more conventional scale and size and style of mining. The operation, for people who don't know or first-time listeners, it's a very unique deposit. We're really looking at layers of conglomerate. These are, say, 1 meter average thickness beds of conglomerate that are flat-lying. They're very near surface. Where they're oxidized, they're very easy to mine. It's a free dig, which means we don't need drilling and blasting, things like that. It should be, overall, a very cheap, a very cost-effective operation, and we are very much looking forward to advancing this toward production. We did raise $15 million about, I think the placement closed around 3 weeks ago today, and with that money, we will be able to get through all these steps very easily and take the project to its ultimate conclusion, production.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're expecting, I guess those could be some drivers for the shares if you're coming out with some new with a new resource calculation and also then economics. When did you say the economics studies you expect, Quentin?
The economic study will be completed following the resource update. So it'll be later this year. I'm going to call it tentatively October, something like
that. Yeah, well, that's a pretty fast track. I would think that, I guess you've done a lot of this work, though, previously, I guess, as you were going forward, which is enabling.
You know, I would say we've done this work as well as some permitting work as well. And so we're actually on a the upper part of the learning curve. We're basically able to complete this fairly quickly. On that note, I would point out we've added a member to our team here recently. His gentleman's name is Chris Gotti. He is an Australian-based, a Perth-based permitter. He's an environmental scientist, expertise in permitting. He is now on our team and will help guide the company through that process.
Yeah, and you'll be adding some more managerial people too, I'm sure, because after all, going from exploration, that's your strength, of course, to production takes a lot of different talents and takes a lot of manpower too, right? It takes a lot of people.
It is. You know, we're making that quantum leap over the next few weeks, say, I would expect to be able to talk to people about some of these new additions. I think we have the opportunity to build a very strong team and, ensure that we can get to production and make sure we meet our goal.
Well, I know that you can't really talk definitively yet about economics. You gave a lot of the reasons why you expect this to be a very robust project, some of the mining, low mining costs, and should be fairly simple metallurgy, standard metallurgy. You've gotten really high recoveries, as you suggested, 98% with CIL, something like that. So I guess, though, the question in my mind, Quentin, is still to go into production these days. It's not a cheap thing. You mentioned you raised $15 million. You're going to have to raise some more to get into production, right?
Yes. Look, there's a couple of avenues that our new path we're on really opens up. First of all, we have warrants attached to the recent placement that, if exercised, would actually provide much of the capital we think we're going to need for this mine. So mm-hmm. that's certainly one possibility, is that the outstanding warrants out there could help finance most or even potentially all of the project. The second alternative that opens up is, because we are looking at a more conventional means of processing, we do think there will be better interest in forms of debt financing, things like that, that that could help us, you know, make up the balance, we'll call it, the capital we need. The debt financing around gold mining is always dependent on the health of the industry at that time. You know, when the market's very poor, like it was a couple of years ago, you'd be very hard pressed to find any good deals, you know, any companies or banks or institutions willing to lend money. Assuming, though, that the gold market is picking up here, and we think it is, I think we'll be in a very good position to finance the remaining capital for Beaton's Creek once we do make that decision.
All right. Well, one other question I've got to ask you about, and I think that we're just not really knowing very much about it yet, but you made an announcement recently that you picked up some ground, I don't know, it was a couple hundred kilometers west of Beaton's Creek. Can you say anything about that? I think it's the Comet Well is the name of the project.
Correct, yes. To give people a flavor for, my background, I'm an explorer. I've been looking at this Pilbara region, like I said, for another Itvadarsen now for about 12 years. And we focus mainly on the eastern part of the Pilbara region. That's where most of the map conglomerates are. So the driver was looking at the geology and saying, okay, you know, where do we have some basins with conglomerates? Where should we go explore? So we focused in areas that were, you know, that were mapped, definitive conglomerate horizons. Now, about 9 or 10 months ago, I got wind that local people near a town called Kararatha were finding gold nuggets with metal detectors, and they were finding significant amounts. So we're talking about thousands of ounces of gold found with metal detectors. I kept my eye on it. I kind of investigated, and I found out, lo and behold, the gold was originating from conglomerates. An eye-opener, because there are no conglomerates mapped in that particular area. Upon further investigation, it became clear. We basically confirmed that it was coming from conglomerate, and we recognized that the conglomerates dipped inwards into the basin to the south of the location where the locals were working. So we've pegged a very large area now at a place we call Comet Well. It's just a geographic location about 40 kilometers south of Kararatha. And we've now pegged what I would say, you know, it's basically the entire down-dip extent of these conglomerates. Mm-hmm. We've also done a deal with a local landholder that gives us some exposure to the outcropping conglomerates where these people are finding gold nuggets. I have been to the property. It's a very, very interesting gold occurrence. It was never recognized. This is a brand new discovery. And, you know, you think about places like Australia, you'd think they'd be picked over. Here we are with a brand new gold discovery where gold nuggets are being found over 8 kilometers of strike along conglomerates, outcropping, that nobody had mapped. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. So we're very excited about the potential of this thing. Wow. We do have some additional data that tells us these conglomerates likely do extend into the basin. We did some research, found evidence of a historic drill hole 65 kilometers south of Comet Well that hit a reef, a gold-bearing conglomerate horizon.
My goodness.
At 12 grams per ton. Okay, so this is a very, very interesting prospect. It's very early days, but we have basically jumped in there, greedily picked up as much land as possible, and we're looking at you know, potentially a very interesting new discovery.
All right, we'll have to leave it go at that, Quentin, but to be continued, hopefully we'll have you back sometime in the near future as some of these numbers start getting, well, if you start exploring and having some assays for us. But, you know, Beaton's Creek by itself is very exciting, but this is something new that has really, really got me excited, I must say. And if I didn't already have so much of my portfolio in your stock, I'd be buying with both hands now, but I just can't good conscience go beyond 20% of my holdings in any one company. So that's about it. Quentin, thank you so much for being with us.